Second part of the teaching tonight. Tonight we're talking about justification of faith. And so if you have your Bibles, you have a printed program, you should see where we are, Romans 3rd chapter. And it says from the 21st, actually through the 28th, but the key verse tonight is going to be 3 and 24. So I want you to focus on that, but we're going to look at quite a few other scriptures. Amen. And I'm going to follow suit. I used to be a pretty good card player. I'm going to follow suit tonight, and I'm going to follow right up in behind my good friend, Pastor McGuire, and we're going to teach for a little while. Amen. Because that's what the Institute is about. It's a teaching arm of the Zion Association. But first, would you pray with me? Father God in heaven, we just thank you tonight for the privilege, the opportunity to stand before your people. Stand on your word. God, but before I ask you to bless any part of this service, God, I just want to thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. Lord God, forgive me of all the iniquities and transgressions. Lord, I thank you, O Lord, tonight that you have looked past my faults. Lord, the things that I've done and the things that I've said, even those things that I thought about and felt in my heart, God, I thank you. Because you are all-knowing God. You see all, you know all. You created me, you know all about me. And Lord God, also I want to just thank you tonight for each and every person that's here tonight that will hear a word, and hopefully that the seed of your word will be planted deep in their heart. That either it will convict them and let them know that they're right on target, or let them know that there's some other things they need to do. Lord God, we ask right now if you would just please hide me behind the shadow of your cross. Lord God, take these lips of clay and form them into powerful preaching and teaching tools, that if I would speak, you would speak for me. If I move, it'd be you moving for me. And Lord God, I just ask right now in the name of your son Jesus that everyone in this room tonight will see and hear from you and not from me. Let your glory be manifested tonight, Lord God, because you were with me in my preparation. You were with me in my meditation. And now, Lord God, be with me in my proclamation as I deliver your word tonight. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we get started, I want to read four verses, and these four verses will kind of pivot on four points tonight that I will make in the Word. First of all, the key verse was Romans 3 and 24, which said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Romans 4 and 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the last verse is Romans 8 and 30. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I want to speak to you tonight about the subject of justification of faith, but I want you to think along this thought. Guilty or not guilty? That is the question. Amen? So what is it? What is this justification? Why is it important, and what does it mean to us? Perhaps all the great doctrines of our faith, what the Bible teaches us about justification, must be among the most important. In fact, it has been said that a right understanding of justification is absolutely crucial in the whole Christian faith. If we are to safeguard the truth of the gospel for future generations, we must understand the truth of justification. Even today, a true view of justification is the dividing line between the biblical gospel of salvation by faith alone and all false gospels of salvation based on good works. Y'all do know that there are some four false gospels, right? Y'all do know that, right? Let me get some of this water, Pastor. Y'all pray with me now. I got some bad legs today. So first I want to look at, there's four facts about justification I want to remind you of tonight. We're going to teach a little bit about it so that I can make sure that you understand what I have found out and what I have seen and what God has revealed to me about justification. First of all, justification is a legal declaration by God. Now, what exactly does it mean to be justified? I think in some ways we have so dumbed down the Bible and biblical terminology that we are frightened by words like this one. First of all, Webster's Dictionary defines justification as being pronounced free from blame or guilt. Straight out. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that being justified is the legal or formal acquittal from guilt by God as judge. And then I come across a book entitled The Systematic Theology. It defines justification as an instantaneous legal act of God in which he thinks of our sins as forgiven and Christ, his righteousness, as belonging to us. In this legal act, God declares us to be righteous in his sight. The justification Christ offers frees one from the penalty of sin and will keep one free from the penalty of sin. Someone once said that justification simply means just as if I never sinned. Y'all gonna come with me? Let's look at Romans. Let's back up for a minute. Look at Romans 3:9-23. I'm not gonna read all of it, but Paul, by the inspiration of God, lays out for us the scene of a courtroom in which a trial is taking place. Huh? Y'all gonna have to come on walk with me. Paul has argued the guilt of every man and woman, whether Jew or Gentile, maybe you talked about that last night, as they are seen in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. The Gentile, even those who have sinned, heard the gospel, is guilty due to the witness of creation. Y'all gonna walk with me. I used to question, what about the one who has never heard the gospel? How are they going to be judged? What's going to happen to those who have never really heard the gospel? Let me tell you something. Just the mere fact that you have witnessed creation ought to give you an inkling of God's presence. Can I get a witness? The good and moral man, the good old boy, is guilty due to the witness of his conscience. The Jew is guilty because of the scriptures that he possesses. All the elements of a court trial are present. In verse 9, we find the charge. Look at verse 9. It says, what then? Paul says, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are under sin. We are all under sin. Both the Jew and the Gentile, to say that we are all under sin includes all that goes with it. It's guilt and condemnation. And then verse 10 through 18, we see the indictments against man. Y'all can read that for yourself a little bit later on for the sake of time. But it gives the indictments against man. He is totally depraved. He's a totally depraved person. Our character is hopeless. None are righteous, is what it says. I'm like Reverend Alexander. I'm not making this up as I go. It's in your Bible. Okay, I gave you the verse 10 through 18. You can read it. None are righteous. Our speech is corrupt. Our conduct is ungodly. Sure, there's a different degree to our depravity, but we are all guilty of sin. In this letter to the believers at Rome, Paul masterfully demonstrates that there is not a single person who can stand before God as righteous and holy. Not one. And bringing the indictment against man, verse 19 indicates man's defense. Look what it says in verse 19. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, It's saying to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Every mouth may be stopped. That means shut up. I'm gonna come around in a minute. Think about the day of judgment. Think about it. Can y'all think about it? Can y'all be real and think about judgment day? Huh? There's gonna come a day when every one of us will stand before God alone. I gotta put that in there. Alone. Ain't no mama. Ain't no daddy. Ain't no big mama. Ain't no Aunt Pearl. Ain't no Tootie. But what they call them? I taught the girls all the time. Oh, Pastor, I found me. Think I found the right man. Oh yeah, what's his name? Slim. Big boy. Fast Eddie. Don't know his last name. Don't know where he live. Don't know nothing about it. Didn't even get a license plate. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Just the thought of standing before God alone makes me shudder. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I'm can't wait to get to heaven and see Jesus. But standing before God? See, I'm confident that Jesus is going to step up. Hold on, Daddy. That's he wanted mine. Hold on, come on. Because he justified. But standing before God, just the same way I came in, woo. That's something to think about. Huh? Many think that they would somehow argue their case before the Lord and will put God on trial for what he did or allowed in their lives. For those, I would have to agree with a statement I heard somewhere that says, an attorney who would represent himself before the Lord has a fool for a client. You see, when we stand before the Lord, the evidence will be so overwhelmingly obvious to us that every mouth shall be shut up. But Lord, shut up. But see, no, shut up. But see, Mike, no, shut up. Well, I was listening to Pastor, shut up. But Pastor McGuire said, shut up. Well, my wife told me, oh, you better shut up. There's no defense before God because we have no defense. Verse 19 also gives us the verdict against every man. It says, and the entire world may become guilty before God. The verdict is already in. Why will every mouth be stopped? Because we are all guilty. Right now, everybody in this house is guilty. I hope I didn't bust somebody's bubble. You guilty. Huh? You cannot understand justification apart from these facts about man's sin and guilt before God. Why? Because we are guilty. Huh? Sentence has been passed. All humanity stands condemned to die. Why? Because the wages of sin. Come on, you know what it is. However, in justification, God, who sits on the throne as judge, legally declares that we are not guilty. In fact, he declares us to be righteous. But let us make a distinction here. In justification, God does not make us good or righteous, nor does he change what we are internally. He doesn't change it at all. Huh? To say that he justifies us is simply to say that he has declared us to be free from the penalty of our sin. God has simply issued a legal declaration about us. Y'all gonna walk with me? It is a good example. It's found in Luke 7:29. Dr. Luke says, all the people that have heard and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. You can see here that no one can make God righteous. They simply were declaring that he was. Now, if in justification God can legally declare us not guilty and also be righteous, then two things have to take place. Two things. The first thing is that even though we have sinned terribly and stand before him condemned, God declares us not guilty. Now, we have no penalty to pay for sin, including past, present, or even future sins. That is why Paul could later say that there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ. Every sin you have. Oh, I need to back up just a minute because I don't want nobody to miss this. No condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. I got to make that plain because some folk think they just going to walk on in heaven through the back door. You know, I used to say all the time, there's going to be a whole lot of saved folk in hell. Yeah, there's going to be a whole lot of saved folk. That's what they said. This is one part of justification, but it is not enough because now we stand before God forgiven, but somehow short of what we need. That is why we can say that not only have we been declared to be not guilty, but also to be righteous. You see, in the mind of God, we are considered to be perfectly righteous before him. In justification, God sees me as having the merits, of perfect righteousness. I am not just forgiven. I am actually righteous. Now, I'm going to show you how you're righteous. Because some folks say, well, you just said it's not none righteous. I know where I'm at, Brother Mike. Number two, the second part. We can be justified because of Christ. Come on, go with me. Romans 3:24-26 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Did y'all hear that? 25, whom God has set forth to be what? An atoning sacrifice. If you got your Bibles, it says another word, King James. But I wanted to break it down so you can see what that means, an atoning sacrifice. Through faith in his blood to declare righteousness for the remission of what? Sins that are past through the what? Forbearance of God. 26 verse says, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The justifier who believeth in Jesus, Tony. Now, look at Romans 4. We're going to run through here a minute. I told you I'm going to teach a little bit. I want y'all to get this. Romans 4. Look at 1-5. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But of debt. Y'all know we're in debt. I don't care how much you think you out of debt. You in debt. You in debt for a price you'll never pay. Listen. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, the words reckon, count it, and impute all come from the same Greek word. And we can say that God imputes Christ's righteousness to us. See, impute means he gives it to you. It means that God thinks Christ's righteousness as belonging to us or regards it as belonging to us. He reckons it to our account. We have no righteousness of our own. You have no righteousness of your own. Paul made this point in Romans 3:10. There is none righteous. Now you look at Romans 4:5 again, and it says that I am ungodly. The only way God could look up upon us as being righteous is by what? Considering Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. He justifies the ungodly by forgiving our sins and by declaring us to be righteous. Y'all see this? You ain't doing nothing. God doing all this. I hope y'all getting some out of this. See, God does it all. God does it all. If we consider our court trial again, imagine the charge has been laid against you. You are a sinner and deserve death. The various indictments are carefully laid out. You are given the opportunity to defend yourself, but there's nothing to say. You are guilty. Huh? Your adversary, Satan, now look, watch this, because I can see Satan. You know he in the courtroom too, right? Satan's in the courtroom. He grows excited, knowing that you are guilty, but before the judge passes sentence, here comes the advocate, Jesus Christ. He comes before you and tells the judge that he has enough righteousness to take care of the crime. Jesus does. That's what he's going to do, Mike. We stand before God alone. If Jesus wasn't there, we'd all be going to hell. We'd all be going to hell. Huh? That is what Jesus has done for you and me. Think about it for a minute. When Adam sinned, his guilt was imputed to us. In other words, God the Father viewed Adam's sin as belonging to us. Huh? But when Christ suffered and died, come on, for our sin was imputed to Christ, and God through it as belonging to him. He paid the penalty for it, and when he died on the cross, paid debt, paid in full. Paying in full. That ought to make somebody excited. Because when you talk about getting out of debt, I don't care if I own First National Bank. I don't care if I own People's Bank. I don't care if I own Walmart some money. But if I'm free of debt with Lord, if Jesus paid my pay, if he's paid my debt of sin, I'm debt free. I'm debt free. I'm debt free. File bankruptcy if you want to, but I'm debt free. Come get my TV. I don't care. I'm debt free. Come tow my car away. I don't care. It don't run halfway right. No way. I'm still debt free. Justification, y'all. Simply justified. Simply just. You just with Christ. The third point. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. But I want y'all to get this. Justification comes entirely by God's grace through faith in Christ. See, I told you he does it all anyway. You really ain't really playing a big part in this, Tony. See, if it was not for his grace, we was on the way up here this evening, and I was talking to a young lady who was riding with us, and she was talking about how, you know, she, you know, up and down and all her turnarounds and everything, and she was wondering why things happened to her, and she said, I know it ain't right, Pastor, the question, God. I said, it don't matter. The answer gonna be the same. The same thing he told Job. Have you forgot who I am? I'm God. I can do what I want to do. I created heaven and earth. I put the stars in the sky. I made the oceans roar. Come on, y'all know what it is. Question God all you want. The answer gonna be the same thing. Shut up. I'm God. What you think you asking me for? Didn't you know? You know now. But the question now comes, how do you receive Christ's righteousness and the forgiveness of sin? His righteousness is not simply given to everyone, though it was offered to everyone. Romans 3 and 20 tells us that no flesh can be justified by the deeds of the law. In other words, we cannot be justified by any good doing or by our own effort. We are absolutely corrupt. Verse 24 gives the answer. He says, how can I be justified? By his grace. That's easy. Are y'all getting this? It's real simple. I don't know why people, Reverend Alexander, I don't know why people make the Bible so hard. I don't know why they make the Word of God so hard, Sister Tammy. It's real simple. You got up this morning because of His grace. You had health and strength because of His grace. You had money in your pocket. It might not have been much, but it was because of His grace. You was able to go to work and have a job because of His grace. Your wife and husband love you because of His grace. I know what I'm talking about with that one. Because sometimes you don't feel like love one another. But because of His grace. Woo! I feel this thing here. In other words, you cannot be justified by any good doing on your own. Look at Ephesians. We're going to roll through here. Look at Ephesians real quick. But get your Bibles. Look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I'm going to read this to you. Y'all know what it says. Huh? Any good Bible student know what it says? Huh? For by grace we are saved through faith and not of yourself. It is what? The gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How many people do you know that brag and what they got? Huh? I bet you know a whole bunch of them, don't you, Pastor Jake? Brag about it. Hey, man, come on out here and see this car I got. I worked hard for that car. Man, come on out here and see my new house. I worked hard for this house. Man, come here and look at this big old fat income tax check I got back. I worked hard for this money. The government owed me. You ain't did nothing. You ain't did nothing. We are saved by God's grace. God did not have any obligation to impute our sins to Christ or to impute his righteousness to us. It was only because of his unmerited favor that he did it. It's grace. How does God determine who receives this grace? Look at verse 26 again. It says, he gives answer. He said, justifier of him which believeth in Christ. All you got to do is believe. That's all you got to do. It's real easy. Your faith is triggered by your belief. Your faith ain't going nowhere if you don't pull the trigger, Tony, on your belief system. Faith is absolutely nothing if you don't believe. You can't have faith in nothing if you don't believe in it. Come on now. How many times you come in the house at night, dead, dark, and you hit the light switch, you already know, you believe, light coming on. Get in your car, day after day, after day, you believe that car going to start. It go without saying. Why is it so hard that we fail in our faith of God? Knowing that everything you look at, everything you touch, the Bible said nothing was made that was made that was not made by God. And people fail every day, big time, because they fail. I get more calls, people crying and whining. Pastor, I need prayer. Pastor, I need you to come hold my hand. Pastor, I need this. Pastor, I need that. Where is your faith? How old are you? You are older than me. What you calling me for? Oh, I know. I get this all the time. But you the pastor. Look at Romans 5 and 1. It say we are justified by faith, but you must understand that there is nothing inherently good about your flesh and your faith, but it is though your faith had merit with God. What we learn, though, is that in exercising our faith in Christ, we are earnestly saying to God, the judge, that we cannot do for ourselves what is necessary to escape the punishment that comes because of sin. How many times have y'all really got on your knees and said, Lord, I'm helpless. I'm getting ready to hit somebody straight in the mouth. Huh? Your prayer every morning, I say, Lord, thank you for waking me up because I am not able to do it on my own. I thank you, Lord, for taking me to work this morning because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't make it. Lord, I thank you for my children because if it wasn't for you, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably kill them. Lord, thank you for being a good steward over my money. Because if it wasn't for you, I'd probably have lost my mind. You know, I tell folk all the time, I'm so glad that I ain't no millionaire. I could probably handle it now. But it was the time, boy, if I'd ever hit the lottery, I'd have been like that guy that went to Vegas twice. You know, remember that guy a few years ago that hit the lottery, went to Vegas, got arrested, was up in the hotel room doing everything, blew all his money. Then he went to jail for like 5 years, got out, and you talk about blessed, got hit the lottery again. This time he went to Vegas and OD. You read all the time. People get the lottery, go out and buy an airplane, can't fly. Go buy a boat, can't swim. Foolishness. Foolishness. And then you want to know why you're not justified through your faith. Imagine the foolishness of a man who was on trial when Jesus stepped forward on his behalf and tells the judge that he will share his righteousness with that man. Only to hear that man say that he does not need it. That he tried to live righteously. Or that he had more righteousness than unrighteousness. The Bible said that's a fool. God demands payment. He demands satisfaction. And the only perfect sacrifice, you know who it was his son Jesus. Huh? Because no matter what we do, we'll never be able to repay the debt that Christ paid for us. Huh? The only perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ can free a man from the guilt of sin. And the only way to receive that perfect imputed righteousness is by believing. It's simple. You got to believe. Number four, and I'm getting close. Justification results in some wonderful blessings. Pastor McGuire blessed my heart last night when he pulled out that big old cornbread skillet. I tell you, man, I've not seen a practical tool used like that. Boy, you blessed me last night. I went home laughing all the way home. I was giggling. And the police would have taught me, they thought I was crazy. Cause I was just giggling. I said, that man had that skillet. I ain't seen a skillet like that since my grandma. Now I'm talking about that thing. And he was up there trying to hold it up. It was holding it up. But it's a wonderful blessing, because what he talked about was that sometimes our faith is too small to handle the blessing that God, I got it, bro. I got it. And I tell people all the time, your faith is, the bigger your faith, the more God gonna bless you. I don't know why people get that. I don't know why they run around all the time. Man, I don't know what's going on. I just don't believe I can do. Man, sure, I can't get that job. They got an interview. They go on the job. Man, I know you ain't going to hire me. Well, I was thinking, no, I know you ain't going to hire me. Thanks anyway. I'm going home. No faith. And God is trying to bless you. God, when he justifies a man, he says, I pronounce you a righteous man, for from now on, I'm going to treat you as though you had never sinned. All sin is past and gone. You know what it is. Wiped out. Your sin is not just forgiven. It's not just pardoned, but the slate has been cleared. It can never be written on again. You have been set before God as a righteous man and woman. You have already read some of the blessings of God of being justified. Romans 5:1 said that there is peace with God. You are not in enmity with him. I am no longer offensive to him because he does not see me and see my sin. He sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. Now, Titus 3:7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here comes hope. Hope. This is not a hope soul salvation, because many people think that you must earn God's favor by salvation. They hope. They ain't going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm going to heaven. I got my mind made up. I hope I go to heaven. But because my salvation is not dependent on me, and I have bet all my salvation on the righteousness of Christ, I have genuine hope. You got to have genuine hope. My grandmama used to always tell me, and my mama echoes it now, it just takes a made up mind. You have the will. God gave it to you. But I'm reminded of a verse in Hebrews that says, our hope serves as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast. There are plenty of days when I don't feel like being saved. My sin and feelings of unworthiness can begin to act like the winds and waves on a lake. If my security was based on those feelings, on my deserving salvation, I would surely drift away. But I have an anchor. I have a made up hope that not in myself, but in Christ Jesus and his righteousness, which has been considered to be mine and mine all by myself. See, I don't know about you tonight. I don't know where your hope lies, and I don't know where your deliverance is, but you can't have mine, because it's mine all by myself. Jesus gave it to me, and you can't have it. My salvation belongs to me. He gave me favor. I can't help it because he elevated me. I can't help it because he gave me what I deserve. And just because he gave me what I deserve in 5 years, and you've been trying to get it for 20 years, you need to back up and find out what you're doing wrong, because something ain't right with that picture of salvation in your life. I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing, but I've been following a man named Jesus. They tell me his name was Jesus. He was born in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem. His mama and his daddy was too poor to get a room. They want you to think there wasn't no room in there, but I tell you right now, they was poor. Jesus was born in a poor situation, but he was a king. Baby Jesus was the king. I like that. I like that. I got to stop right there for a minute. Because he was born into a sin-sick world. Mom and dad didn't have no money. If they did, they'd have been in the Hyatt. They was traveling on a donkey. If they had some money, they'd been in a chariot. But she was riding and he was walking. That's what the pictures show me. Can you imagine a king being born into poverty? You can't imagine it, can you? I'm going to tell you why. Because he came and he was humble. He had a heart for humanity. Jesus came to serve. He didn't come to be served. He was a servant then and he's a servant now. I want to close right here, but I got to tell you about a dream I had one time. Some of my members done heard it before. But when I get to thinking about grace and faith, one night, you ever been woke up in the middle of the night? You know, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord was speaking to you? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I know some of y'all kids and y'all call it a nightmare. But the Lord's Spirit woke me up one morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had been struggling with grace and faith. See, they go hand in hand. Because the Bible said that you're saved through grace by faith. But I was a little boy. I'd always been fascinated with flight. I used to be fascinated. I was a Boy Scout, Cub Scout. I was fascinated with birds. I guess that's why when I went into service, I was in the military. I was a paratrooper. I don't know what made me want to jump out of an airplane, but I did it anyway. I love to be in the air. I love to fly, I didn't say. But the Lord took me up into a dream. And he showed me some birds. Y'all come go with me. He showed me an eagle. And I said, Lord, I would love to be an eagle. Because I know in the Bible, it's all about eagles. But the Lord looked at me, Tony, his spirit, said, son, you ain't ready to be an eagle. See, some folk can't be eagles. Because eagles are designed to fly above the storm. And you ain't ready to get above the storms in your life. I want you to go through some things. So I said, well, Lord, I see a sparrow. I said, now I know sparrow, that's a good bird. Because they sing about the sparrow. He said, Lord has an eye on the sparrow. But the Lord said, son, have you ever seen a sparrow in the midst of a storm? I said, no, Lord. I ain't never really paid attention to it. He said, the sparrow is kind of a dumb bird. He said, a sparrow will fly in a storm, and then he'll come out of a storm, and then for some stupid reason, he'll fly back into a storm. He said, I can't have you to be no sparrow, son. He said, because if I take you into something, and I bring you out of something, I ain't wanting you to go back in to something. In other words, I'm talking to somebody tonight. If I took you in to a bad marriage and I brought you out of a bad marriage, I'm not designing you to go back in to a bad marriage. If you was in poverty and I brought you out of poverty, I didn't bring you out to go back into poverty. If I brought you out of gossiping, I didn't bring you back to go back in to gossiping. So, but Lord, I don't see but one bird there. And there was a dove. And I said, what about the dove? He said, the dove be a good bird for you, son. I said, well, Lord, I'm waiting. Tell me about the dove. And the Lord said, if you ever notice a dove,
all right,
got got two strong wings. And I was reminded of a song they used to sing. If I had two wings, I'd fly away. Ain't God all right? So he said, okay, I'm gonna let you be the dove. And he said, but the dove is a strong bird. The dove, if he goes in a storm and he get tired on both them wings, said a dove will tuck one wing and glide on the other wing. And if he get tired on that wing, he'll tuck that wing and glide on the other wing. And then he said, now if you're going to be a dove, I want you to take them two wings. And I want you to name one Grace and the other one Faith. And when you get tired, when your money get funny and your change get strange and your wife don't act right and your children act a fool and people talk about you, I want you to take that Grace and tuck it and glide on Faith. And then when your things get rough and you can't seem to make your way and things get all mixed up and things get puzzled, tuck old Grace and glide on Faith. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Grace and Faith, it'll take you a mighty long way. But then the Lord taught me, he said, now I got one more thing I want to show you. He said, if you not notice that a dove is built for long distance flight. And I said, no, Lord, I never really thought about it. He said, have you ever wondered how dove made it all the way from the Old Testament when Noah left and got the ark, and it left the ark and it ended up in the New Testament when Jesus was baptized? The dove went all the way from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight, that if you place your trust and your faith in Jesus and know that you are saved by grace, you can be just like that dove. You can get a long ways. Perseverance, endurance, strength, boldness. It'll take you a long way, Tony. It'll take you a long way. Grace, oh grace, grace, oh grace. Faith, faith, faith. Grace and faith. It'll work every time. Grace and faith. That's all we need. I'm trying to shut up. But grace and faith, when I think about it, when I was a terrible little boy, when I was a rambunctious, a young adult, and when I was out there in the world doing all types of foolishness under the sun, but it's grace. It's grace, Tony. Should have been dead. I know folks say this all the time. I should have been dead and sleeping in my grave. Let me tell you something. I should have been dead. One night, and I'm going to close right here. I'm done. One night, I come out of a gambling house. I was a gambler. I was a hustler. Kept a good job. You know, I was one of them, what they call them, Doc? Come on, Mike, help me. You know when an addict is able to function, even though, huh? I can function, Jack. I can stay up all night and gamble and go to work at 6 and get off, eat lunch, take a nap, and go right back to the gambling house and get right back up and go to work next morning. I was functional. That's right. But one night I come out of the gambling house. I've been there 3 days. Lost a little, won a little, lost a little bit more, and then I won a whole lot. Young people, folk watching you. And this guy was watching me. And the guy that owned the gambling house, he said, come on, Slaughter, take you out the back door. Get on out of here, all that money. Yeah. You know, I big daddy. I took me some change. Now, here you go, Doc. That's for you. That's for the man at the crap table. You know, big time, right? I come out of that house, come down that alley, and all I heard was click, click. His old boy standing behind me with a 45 to my head. He said, give me all that money, man. Now, I'm bad, right? I said, man, you ain't taking nothing from me. I don't care what you might go on, shoot me. but you ain't taking mine. And I get ready to turn on it, pull the hammer, and it jammed. And I was on him like, you know. And he took off running. Now, I was already wasted. So I only got about three good steps. And he was down at the end of the alley. And as he got ready to turn into the street, I hollered some choice words at him. And he took that gun and aimed it at me. And it fired. He got so scared that he dropped it and took off running. Little did I know that even in my wickedness, in my sin, God's grace. When I think about that, he knew that he said he had better things for me. His grace. If you don't think about nothing else in your life, you ought to think about God's grace on your life, even when you don't deserve it, even when you're not even thinking about it, how we take it for granted. His grace. God is good. And he's good all the time. Sister Tam always say, everybody ought to have a song. I got a song. And I'm going to just sing a verse of this. And then Pastor McGuire, you come and you just take this mic. No, I don't. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Come on, help me. For me, way back on Showway, why I praise you, I lift you up, and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I don't know about you tonight. I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today. You care for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you, I lift you up. Oh. And I magnify your name. Heart is filled with praise. Listen. My heart, my mind, my soul belong to you. Yes, he did.
Way back on
Calvary.
That's why I praise you. I lift you up. And I'm... Thank you, Jesus. That's why. With praise. Oh, yes, it is. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's why my heart, that's why. You've been so good to me, Jesus. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Come on. Because of your grace and your mercy, Lord Jesus. That's why my, you look past all my faults and you saw my needs. That's why, that's why, that's why I love you, Jesus. That's why. First love me, that's why, that's why, that's why, that's why, that's why my heart is filled with praise, cause you've been so good. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. My heart, my heart, my heart is filled with praise, that's why. Because he rose again. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Because he shed his blood for me. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Because by his stripes we're healed. That's why, that's why, that's why. My heart is filled with praise. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's why my heart with praise. I got faith in Jesus, that's why. I'm justified by my faith, that's why my heart is filled. Thank you, Jesus. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah. So my heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. Amen. Amen. There will be one tonight. If you want to be justified tonight through your faith in Jesus Christ, those who accept him as their Lord and Savior are not condemned. Amen. But there's only, you realize that Christ only comes with a blessing. And the new covenant, there's no curse. It's all blessings. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing but blessings. You realize that? That's why my heart is filled with praise. Because he's so good to me. That's why. That's why. That's why. My heart is filled with praise. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Hallelujah. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Amen. Let's get the Lord a great hand clap of praise tonight. None coming tonight, but there's still room. Amen. We're still working on our faith. I tell you what, if you didn't get anything out of that tonight, you know what? It's impossible, if you are truly a child of God, to have sat and listened to that message and not received anything out of it. If you are sitting there and you feel like you didn't get anything out of it, then you may need to ask yourself the question, do you really know who Jesus Christ is? Are you truly filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he spoke to the believer tonight. And he set some things straight tonight. Amen. Let's get a man of God a hand tonight for an awesome message. We can do better than that. Amen. Come on, y'all. He did a great job on tonight. Thank you, Lord. That's why my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We could stay here all night long. Amen. What an awesome word. Tell you what, living words, you have somebody special. You have somebody special. And God placed him in a special place right there with you all. Amen. We just thank God again for all that he shared with us on tonight. Amen. Amen. Now our program calls for remarks and announcements. I will make this announcement tonight. I made it on last night.
that on April, amen, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, Pastor Bertrand Bailey Jr. will be here at Orange Chapel for a revival. Amen. It'll be an awesome, amen, time for us to worship and praise God. Amen. If you've never heard him before, he's a dynamic preacher. And we're just looking forward to him coming to share with us. We may not have room to hold. I just don't feel like we'll have room to hold the crowd. And I actually talked to a preacher tonight, and he said, look, if it overflows that bad, give me a call. You just bring, y'all just come on up to our church. I'm not going to put that out there yet, but, you know, it's great to have great friends. Amen. So we just thank God. If we get up in here and, you know, the sisters can't shout like they want to, we may have to change locations. Amen. I think that'd be an awesome thing. If you have a service that you can't even hold, that's good news. Amen. So we're just looking forward to that revival. Amen. In April. Just wanted to make that announcement. I do have another great announcement. Tomorrow night, my brothers and sisters, tomorrow night, we will actually be at Living Word. We'll be at is that correct? We'll be at Living Word Missionary Baptist Church tomorrow night. None other. Amen. And our vice moderator. Amen. Pastor Yates. Amen. Will bring us the message from New Hebron Missionary Baptist Church in Brookston, Texas. Amen. He's been with us all both nights, and we're looking forward to being with him. Amen. On tomorrow night. Amen. Over at Living Word. Amen. 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 Reverend Alexander has an announcement for us also.